Sorry, I don't know.
Torah Way, Northwest London, Thursday, the second day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 30th of June, Rabbi Yisrael Feinschlieter, the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer Gordon. This week's Torah Way Shurim have been sponsored by the family of Dr. Littlestone, Zichron Levrocha, Lir Nishmosoi, Reb Zev Ben Reb Doiv, Zichron Levrocha, whose Yahrzeit was on Sunday.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here. Actually, the title is a little bit different. I'm sure many people have one title come along and tell you they're speaking on something completely different. Because at the time when you say the title, you haven't got a clue what you're going to say. But when you finally prepare, it comes to Shinui Shia, whatever you would call it. Anyway, the title is actually slightly different. I want to speak about the life and the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer Gordon. The Torah, unfortunately, is very, very inaccessible. Sadly, virtually all his Kisvei Yad were lost in the First World War. And what's really, if you go onto Svarim or Hebrew books or whatever, you'll be lucky to find just two chalokim of Shalas and Shuvas. A lot of it is in Chosh and Mishpat. So one of the great tragedies of the tragedy of Rabbi Eliezer Gordon and his life had two sides. People talk about the tragedy of his end, but the magnificence and majesty of his Rabbonus, and as a Rosh Hashiva, is a story of great triumph. But one of the tragedies of his life is that his life's work and his Torah is virtually lost. So I'm going to speak about his life and his Torah. Now, when you talk about the life of Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, people focus on the end. Yes, he was Nifta here in London. It's probably one of the most chashuva savers in London, Edmonton Cemetery. Dalad Adar is his yahrzeit. He was Nifta in 1910, 112 years ago. It was, and probably to this day, the biggest levaya that has ever been witnessed in Anglo-Jewry. They say 50,000 people attended his levaya. And he was here. How did Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, Rosh Hashiva of Tells, who was described on his Matseva as the chief rabbi of Tells, but he was virtually chief rabbi of Europe, how did he end up here? So he was breaking new ground, because as we know, all the Litvish and Polish yeshivas, the Rosh Hashiva, as they do today, sadly, the burden of fundraising rests on their shoulders, and they have to turn themselves into mushulochim, in the nicest sense of the word. But the hunting ground for Rosh Yeshiva years ago was confined to the Pale of Settlement, to Litter, to Poland. There some of them strayed into Germany, to the Rothschilds maybe. But America and the UK were off limits. So he was a B'chodesh Dikah person, Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, and so he strayed off limits, and he came here. And his visit here was a tragedy, not only because of his patira, but sadly because of the reception that he got here, which really demoralized him completely. Why did he come? Because in 1908, as we know in Europe, many of the buildings and yeshivas were constructed out of wooden constructions, and there was a devastating fire in Tells, which completely destroyed the yeshiva buildings. They had to move into temporary buildings. Many of the houses of the kilo were burned down, and against doctor's advice, because he'd had a heart attack a few years before, strongly against doctor's advice, he was moisa nefesh to come here for the sake of the yeshiva. He came with his wife and another rov, I forget his name. And he had a very cool reception, as I said. Don't mean much he has. But he, you know, there were two worlds, really. There were Choshev HaRabbonim, which I'll mention later. You know, throughout the provinces, in Glasgow, in Liverpool, in Leeds, you know, you had Choshev HaTalmidei Chachamim here. But the broad sweep of Anglo-Jewry, you know, it was a different world. And they weren't exposed. And the chief rabbi, Dr. Hermann Adler, didn't even know that TELS was still functioning. He thought it had closed a few years ago when Reb Lazer Gordon met him. And it was the Matzoi Shabbos must have been Gimel Adar. He spoke either in, I think it must have been a shul or a hall. And his whole mahus was one of Islavus. He was an extremely emotional a Baal Regesh, in the fullest sense of the word. And you can imagine, you know, a Litvisher Gaon coming here, how he must have spoken, what it cost him in his health and in his emotions and everything, speaking, appealing to Anglo-Jewry. And the scene is described by one of those presents as the audience just sat there, you know, hardly moved, and it cost him his gesund. And he's sitting at the table, Matzoi Shabbos, he had a fatal heart attack, was Nifta, and the Levaya took place here the next day. There was a lot, I don't want to take up time, and a lot of arrangements for the Levaya. 50,000 people, they say, thronged Edmonton and at his Levaya. So who was he? Who was he? I remember when I was in Gateshead, and Maxi will possibly might have been there, or I don't know who might have been there at the time, but we as you have in Yeshiva, you have Choshuva Rabbonim coming to speak, and I remember the late Dain Aloni, Zechad Tzadik Livrocha, came to speak. And he was a Talmud in Slobodka, not Telz, I thought he was a Talmud in Telz, he was a Talmud in Slobodka, but I'll never forget how he recreated the atmosphere of what it was like to sit in Slobodka Yeshiva in the 30s. And I remember one phrase that he used, and he said it was Mamad HaSinai Mamish. He said, you walked into that Beis HaMedrash, he said it was Mamad VaYecharad Kol HaOm. There was Emor, or Fachad. That was the atmosphere. And when you read about the atmosphere that was in Telz, that was created initially by the Alter of Slobodka, Mnosson Tzvi Finkel, and by his successor, Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, and by his successor, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, that was the atmosphere that prevailed. So, who was he? He was a larger-than-life personality. Everybody who described him said that he, when he entered a room, he filled the room. He was charismatic, he was fiery, he was intense, he was emotional, and above all else, he was unconventional. He didn't follow convention in the way that he feared the yeshiva, the way that he spoke, the way that he dealt with his talmidim, the way that he dealt with his fellow rabbonim. And you read his tshuvas, it's very interesting how he responds to people. Rabbi Yitzchok Kosofsky, who was a Talmud of Telz, who went to South Africa, he was in Telz in 1898, and he described the sight of Rabbi Eliezer Gordon giving a shiur. He says the spectre was a sight to see. He was effused with abnormal emotion. All his limbs trembled. Sparks of fire came from his mouth. A normal shiur took 2 hours, sometimes as long as 5 hours. He was disconnected from the world when he gave a shiur. He forgot himself. All his emotion and personality were concentrated in his chidushim, and he spoke at enormous speed. Questions were fired to him. He encouraged kashas in the middle of the shiur, and pity helped the person who asked. What we call a flops kasha. He said he'd spared, he didn't spare anybody. Anger. But then he realized what he'd said to the person, and he straight away appeased the person with soft words. He used to come down from the Stände and mix it with the Talmidim. And after the Shir, he was transformed to another persona. And this picture was replicated by many Talmidim. And Rav Zvi Hirsch Ferber, who was here in London, heard two Shirim from him in Slobodka. 50 years later, he said, "I never forgot those Shirim. Never forgot them." He was born in 1841 near Vilna. His father was Rav Avrom Shmuel Gordon, a Talmid of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So there was a direct link there with Rav Chaim Volozhin. And he learned, he was very special from his youth. He learned in Zaretz Yeshiva near Vilna, where he became a Talmid of Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. He then went to Kovna. He was very, very close with Rabbi Yisroel Salanter and was influenced by him with the Derech HaMusa. But Rabbi Yisroel told him, he says, "Your job is not to learn Musa. He says, your job is to sit in the base of Medrash and be Machadish Chedushim. That's your tafki." He was very close with Rabbi Yisroel's Talmidim, Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, and Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam. And he married the daughter of Rabbi Avrom Yitzhak Neweiser, who was the Rav of Kovna, who told him that all these offers of shtelas that are coming your way, you accept none of them. He said, "You don't accept any of them, you sit and learn, and I'm keeping you." His mother-in-law was not enamored by this arrangement. And she said, "Look, we can keep him, but one family is difficult enough to keep." He said, "But to keep two." She said, "Two families?" She said, "Why should we? He's got all these offers. Let him accept." So to the witch, her husband, Rabbi Lezer's father-in-law, replied, "You don't know who is supporting whom. Are we supporting Rabbi Lezer, or is Rabbi Lezer supporting us?" And Rabbi Leib Gurevitz, I saw printed somewhere, that who said that he heard that when Rabbi Lezer was appointed as Rav of Slobodka, where he was there only for 6 months, that day his father-in-law came home, collapsed on the doorstep of a heart attack, and died on the spot. And his wife, who was now the almona, said to Rabbi Lezer, she said, "My husband was correct all the time. He was the one who was supporting us and not the other way around." So he succeeded his father-in-law as Rav of Kovna for a short time, just for 3 months. He was Rav in Kelm for 9 months and then Slobodka for 6 months. But his triumph really was to succeed Rimnosen Svi Finkel, the Alter of Slobodka, who founded Tells in 1877. And Rav Lezer arrived in 1884, transformed the yeshiva, revolutionized yeshiva. Remember that very shortly afterwards, Volozhin closed its doors, and basically the mantle of the yeshiva world was passed down mainly to Slobodka and to Tells. And Tells became the model of really the yeshivas that we are familiar with today. He revolutionized the seder of yeshiva. The normal format was that there was one shir klali for everybody, and there was no such thing as differentiation in a class. Those who understood, and those who didn't understand, it's too bad. One day you'll get there. That was the shir klali. But he revolutionized the whole system by dividing shiurim, and he had five shiurim, and they graduated from one to the other. And his main departure from convention was that he moved away from learning Achronim, which was the standard Derech HaLimud, Pnei Yeshua, the Ma'ashur, the Ma'aram Shif, and he moved more to concentrate on Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashbo, the Ritvo, but particularly he didn't ignore the Achronim, but he introduced Limud, serious Limud, in Ketzos and the Sivas and Rabbi Kiva Eger. And they learned Ketzos as if they were learning Gemara. And basically, I think I remember hearing a story of Rabbi Chaim Shmulevich on his way to Eretz Yisrael, was asked where he's holding, and he was able to say that he said, "Where are we?" Somebody said, "Where are we?" He says, "We're in Daf such and such of the Ketzos." He knew the Ketzos virtually bal peh. He moved away from being medayik in Rashi. If Rashi says kloma, what does it mean? Or if Rashi says yesh liyashev b'doichek, what does it mean? And whole pilpulim were created on such diukim. And his magidei shir were Reb Shimon Shkop, Reb Chaim Rabinovitz, and Reb Yosef Leib Bloch, who became his son-in-law and successor. And his other son-in-law was Reb Zalman Sirotsky. These were his talmidim. Reb Shimon Zak described, he says, I came to Telz just after my bar mitzvah. And he said, I came into a place, they said, I didn't know anybody. He says, a handsome bocher came up to me, and he told my father, who came with me, said, go home. He said, you've got no worries here. Will you look after him? He proceeded to find him a room, find him his places to eat. And he says, that bocher looked after me like a father. Who was that bocher? It was the Ponovitcher Rav, Rav Yosef Kahaneman. Whether he was appointed or self-appointed, he looked after every bochum. Reb Lezer introduced serious bechinas, tests, every Rosh Chodesh, based on the sugya that they were learning. And the way he set up the bechina was that he created a din Torah. So you had two people, Baalei Din, and he rehearsed the timers. So he took the part of one Baal Din and presented the case. He took the part of the other one, and then he said to the Talmidim, right, he said, on the basis of that, you take over. You say now what the psak is. This is the way he became a bechina. His Talmidim, and it became a model for other yeshivas. His Talmidim were Reb Lezer Yehuda Finkel, the Ponovitcher Rav, Reb Ferber, Reb Zalman Sirotsky, and Reb Yosef Leib Bloch, and so on. So I did say originally that I'll talk about some of his Torah. So his tshuvas are very, very long, and he does go off on tangents. So let me just dip into two of them. One was in Siman Tesvov, Chedek Aleph, of his tshuvas. I can see time is already running away, so I'll have to be quick. He replied to Reb Uri Yitzchak Florence, who asked him about the Zvov Katia in Parshas Pinchas. Hineni nosin lo es brisi shalom. Right? The Vov is cut in the middle. So the Shaila is, what is the Sefer Torah apostle if you've got a normal Vov? So the Florence said he found in Sefer Ikrei Dinim that the Chachmei Venezia said that this is a very serious thing, that if you have a Sefer Torah without a Vov Katir, a normal Vov, he says that Gezeris will be come against the Kehillah, and it's a very, very serious thing, the Sefer Torah is possible. So he wrote to this Rav Uri Yitzchak and said, you mean it's possible, but surely it's only Lechatchila. And he said, the only time a Sefer Torah is possible if there's a nafkamina ladin. So for instance, when you have the different spellings of words, karnos, 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 or karnas, karnas, karnos, when you have three words karnos, but they're read all karnos, but there's two of them without the vov, so we learn there that the zrika al amizbeach, ilachatchila, you should have three, but b'dieved, one is enough. So here, so there, he said, in a case like that, if you've got an extra vov, it's ma'akev. But here, he says, what is ma'akev in the case of the vov katir? And he quotes Gemara Kedushin Samach Vav Omad Beis, where Shmuel asks the question, how do you know that a Baal Mum who does the avoda b'dieved, his avoda is possible? Because, he says, it says, nosin lo es brisi shalom, without the vov, it's sholem. And that's the impact of the vov katir. And therefore, Reb Nachman says, this is the Vav Katir, because the Vav of Shalom is Katir. It's Sholem. And therefore, it's Tola Bedin. How do we learn that a Baal Mum's Avoda is possible, even Bedi Evid? We learn from that Vav Katir. And therefore, on that basis, He says that although Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that all small and large letters and avov ketir is only lemitzvah, and the Rambam says that it should be at least lechatchila, but he says that since it's tola bedin, it would render the Sefer Torah apostle. And then he describes how do you actually correct it? So if you had the word shalom with a proper vav, he says the way to do it is extend the shin downwards, extend the lamed downwards, extend the final mem downwards, and you're left with a short vav. So he said just put a blob of dioy at the bottom, and you've got a vav ketir. What cut in the middle?
Basically, have a cut.
Yeah. Okay, very, very quickly, another tshuva. Let's do it very, very quickly. One second. Yes, in 1896, he wrote to the author of the Sdei Chemed, Reb Chaim Yitzchok Medini, who had just brought out his second chelek, a monumental work which took him 33 years. This was the original encyclopedia of learning, which was succeeded by the Pachad Yitzchok, the nowadays Encyclopedia Talmudis, or wrote Poskim. And people objected to Rabbi Chaim Yitzchok calling his sefer Sedei Chemed. Now, Sedei Chemed is a phrase from Yeshaya, but Sedei is Samach Dalet Yud. And he says, since the binders of Sfarim very often, I know, but it's Oshin, okay. But he said, since the binders of Sfarim very often, when they bound Chalokim together, they dispense with the Shablat of succeeding Chalokim. So the word Shin Dalad Yud or Sin Dalad Yud would be put in the dustbin. And therefore the question is, should he have called his Sefer by the name which could also spell Shakai? So anyway, typical Reb Leibzer Gordon, he said, you know, he wrote to him, he says, you asked all and sundry, this Shaila, he says, you never asked me, why didn't you ask me? He said, so it seems that whatever I'd have said wouldn't have counted, because you came to the conclusion that it's okay, because you only had one person who objected. So he said, even if I had objected, I'd have been bottle barov. But he said, since you never asked me, I'm going to tell you in any case what I think. And so what did he say? He said that if there's no intention of writing a shem like Shin Dalad Yud or Aleph Lamed as a shem Kodesh, he says that it is not Kodesh. So if you have, let's say, Yehuda, and the Dalad, you take the Dalad is missing, so you have Yud Kei Vav Kei, Vav Hei, then he says it's not a shem Kodesh. It's a shem Chol. Why? Because it was written as Chol, even though it turned out to be Kodesh. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, when you have the phrase in the Torah, Elokei Ho Elohim, the Rabbani Shalom of gods, the second word is Chol. And when you have in your Sefer Yoshua, Kel Elohim Hashem, right? Kel Elohim Hashem. Hashem is the God of gods who are Chol. So the second shame is Chol. And so he says, Shin Dalad Yud is the same. You wrote it as Sedei Chemed. It's a phrase in Yeshaya. Even though it looks as a Shin Dalad Yud, but you wrote it as a Shem Chol. And second of all, it's pronounced differently. So he says, according to your one Rav Echad who objected, he said, are you going to say that every time it says in the Torah, Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, that the Aleph Lamed is Kodesh? Or are you going to say Achai Al Tiro'u? Al Tiro'u is spelled Aleph Lamed. You're going to say that's Kodesh? It's not meant to be Kodesh. And therefore, he goes into great detail about the town base, Beit El. Right? Do we go to Beit El today and you say Beit Kael? He said no. Right? Because it was written as. Let me now, because time is running out. You should have had more time, really. But anyway, so let me go back now to his life. Okay, he touched on many things. First of all, he tells was a turbulent place. The Talmidim were no lapdogs, if I don't know what the expression would be, but Musa was introduced into the yeshiva, particularly through Rabbi Yudah Leib Chasman, the Ol Yoel. He was the Mashgiach, and the Bochurim didn't like it. They said, I don't think they called it Bittel's Man, but it was tantamount to Bittel's Man. It's taken us away from learning. And it became very serious. There was a serious rebellion where Bochurim virtually went on strike, and it cost him his gesund. He actually had to close the yeshiva for some time, and I've seen printed verbatim, he took himself out from his sickbed to come to the yeshiva and speak to the Bochurim. And this is a master class of how to quell a rebellion. And he spoke to them so nicely. First of all, he was moichel those who were moirid, and it was a serious merida. He was moichel them, and he quelled the rebellion, but it was a very serious thing. He was such a, for all the fact that he had a fiery character, he was very human. And he was unusual. You saw him in the street walking on his own. He was mafalpal in Torah on his own and with violent physical movements. But he was a great Baal Midas. And the Chazon Ish called him the ultimate Rosh Yeshiva. The Chazon Ish says we don't have people like him today as a Rosh Yeshiva. The way that he allowed every person to express themselves in Torah. If a person wanted Bekias, he gave them Bekias. If they wanted Amkus, he would give them Amkus. Whatever Derech HaLimud they wanted, for all the fact that Telz had its model. When he had tremendous Chochmas HaChaim, so when the yeshiva was in trouble and he asked the community for a loan, he asked Telz to loan him money, they refused. He was very upset. He was more upset when he found that there was a kehillah there of tailors, schneiders, who on Yomim Noroim hired a chazan immediately afterwards at great expense. So he went to speak to the kehillah, and he said, I've always been troubled why the Dor HaMidbar, he said, never, they asked for everything from Moshe Rabbeinu, but they never asked for a chazan. Why didn't they ask for a chazan? And he says, the answer is very simple, because Simloscho Levolso Meolecho, he says, their clothes, he said, grew on them. They never needed any schneiders. He said, they never needed any tailors. And since they never needed any tailors, that's why they didn't ask for a chazan, because they didn't need a chazan either. He was a tremendous leader. V'shem Echo Echod Eliezer. He was the foremost speaker. He was one of the founders of Aguda. He had made takonas for Rabbonim. Rabbonim were not allowed to go to a kehillah to look for a position unless the kehillah approached them with at least 10 people who signed, the leaders of the community. And this idea of going to the kehillah, you have the rich Rav, who said, I'll contribute to the local cheder. Oh, he said, if you go for a position, don't contribute to anything in the kehillah. At his levaya, there were many Talmidei Chachamim in this country. The Ridvaz was here from Tzfat, who was nifted 4 years later. But you had Choshev HaRabbonim, who spoke at the Levaya, Rav Mendelssohn from Glasgow, Rav Horowitz from Sunderland, Rav Aaron Volkin gave a hesped in Manchester, Rav Shmuel Yaakov Rabinovitz spoke in Liverpool, Rav Yoel Herzog, the father of the later chief rabbi, spoke in Leeds. And the most moving hesped of all was given by who's to become Dayan Hillman, Dayan Shmuel Yitzchak Hillman, who at that time was Rav in Glasgow. And what he said was really brought tears to people, because he looked around and he said, look what we've got here, 50,000 people. He said, people are in the windows, people are on the roofs, people are on the streets. He says, what brought all of us out today for this Levaya? And he quoted the words of Yosef HaTzadik when Paro asked him who he was. And you know what Yosef answered? He says, Ki gunov gunavti me'eretz o'ivrim. He says, I've been stolen away from Eretz o'ivrim. Russia, Litter, that's Eretz O'Ivrim. In fact, they referred to places outside as Chutz La'aretz. He says, he's Gunov Gunavtim. This man who we're burying today is Gunov Gunavtim Eretz O'Ivrim. V'gam po lo osisi me'uma, he says. And I came here to save my yeshiva, to save my kehila, began Paul Oisi memoir. What a tragedy.
That he sommel over. Chief Rabbi.
Pardon?
Because of that, he became the rov because of this drosha.
Yes. And you've ended up by saying ki somo osi baba, and look what they did to her, and it reduced. You can imagine the impact of this. The sequel to that was that one of the richest gevirim donated £50 to the yeshiva, which I suppose £50 today, those days were quite a lot, but actually in the aftermath they got their act together and they did contribute. But it cost him his life. But that's the triumph and the tragedy of the life of the Rebbe Yudakov.
Go on.
Yeah.